possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Like what you're dealing with based on who's responding to you.
They might be Russians. They might be like tweeting that from Moscow or something, bro. Like, oh, Memphis is such a dump.
Right. Especially when you see good people, man, that are like saying, I'm disappointed in what I'm hearing or what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. That should make you think. When you're getting co-signed by idiots and evil people, man, that should make you think. Why am I, you know, what am I saying and how is it affecting people?
Because, bro, if we're going to really like go there, downtown Memphis outside of the Forum during a Grizzlies game is probably one of the safest places in Memphis, bro.
Man, exactly, bro. You want to talk about numbers and stats and perception, bro. Downtown Memphis is the safest part of town you'll ever be in tonight, bro. Like, period, bro. Like, it just is. And it's really, like, really been disappointing. I came on the show today like, man, I don't want to talk about this again. But talking to this with y'all has really rejuvenated me in a good way, man. Because we as a city just have to do better, man, and just take care of home. And yes, crime is a problem. It's a problem. Anywhere there's poverty, man, there's going to be a crime issue.
Yep.
Like, that's just the way it is.
Yep.
And if you want to get into a conversation about is poverty by design, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mahatma Gandhi said poverty is by design. It's something that was man-created and only man can fix it, right? It's not some divine right that fell on the earth for some people to be rich and some people to be in poverty. The poverty was created by design. And anywhere there's poverty, there's going to be crime, man. But it's like, man, you either, if you really want to deal with the issue, man, you got to deal with the root of it. And the root of it is not, you know, go sweep up all the homeless people or you have to be more compassionate to really deal with some of the issues of this city, man.
Well, we're trying it in D.C. We'll see if it, We'll see if that spreads to Memphis.
Yeah, let's see how that works. Yeah, that's the solution, man. Let's just get to let me leave that alone, man. But yeah, bro.
We'll keep you updated. We'll keep you up. Say you the best. Thanks,
appreciate
brother.
You, brother. Son.
Thank you, man. Yep. Appreciate y'all.
He is Anthony Saint, host of the Anthony Saint Show. Joins us every single Friday here on the show. Yeah, I mean, it's anecdotal, but I was walking down that Fremont Street at 11 o'clock in the morning on a weekday, and it's just like, it's pitiful. Like, I mean, it's worse than Memphis. Like, that particular stroll for me was worse than anything I'd seen in Memphis. You got people strung out in the middle of the damn thing. And this is a tourist attraction, right? People strung out high on fentanyl or whatever the case may be. And like that. But again, that's where if the Grizzlies were moved, Vegas would be a prime place. It's like they're dealing with the same thing, if not worse, than the same things you're accusing Memphis of having the issue with. You know, so
reminds me of my son seeing his first drug addict shoot up right there on the Walk of Stars.
Yeah,
out in L.A.
Yeah,
we were in the car waiting on his mom to get back from the food truck when she gotten us for.
Yeah,
and we're sitting there just looking at a bench that's got three, jeez, you know, addicts on it. And you know, I could say, hey, look away or whatever else, but the point is, it's right there on the Walk of Stars.
Yeah.
You know.
Right next to George Lopez
and
the walk.
Well, that's all I'm saying. So we can sit up here and act like we've got the worst city in the world.
Or yeah.
We can talk about what the actual issues are and try to, you know, try to come together with the Grizzlies and get this lease signed. So
yeah.
I mean, everybody, yeah. I mean, even Draymond said a version of this.
That's right. Like, we actually
went through every NBA city.
Yeah, we never played that clip yesterday, but we maybe should.
I think it just doubles down on what we're saying and what Sane said.
Maybe we can do that when we get back. Anyway, thanks to Anthony Sane for joining us on the show. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Maybe we'll have that that clip and the unlikely friend. I was talking about him yesterday. I meant to get to him yesterday, but you know how this goes. We're going 80 miles an hour. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN. Black Tie Moving has changed the movement in the city of Memphis. Because when you're moving, you're not just moving things. You're moving pieces of your life. They get that at Black Tie. You're going to get the red carpet treatment, the black tie treatment every time. Whether you're moving cross town, cross country, they can handle it. You don't want to hire a moving company that's going to be late, that's going to be scratching up your stuff, that's going to go over the time that you guys agreed on. You want professionals. And that's what Black Tie is every time. I've used them twice. I'll use them a third if I need to. Black Tie Moving. 316-6196. Get on the schedule. They're always busy. Black Tie Moving. Change and move the city of Memphis. Call today. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. All right, we were talking about this this clip. I guess it was Draymond Green's podcast, and he had on Baron Davis, former. I mean, he's played for a lot of teams, right? Clippers, Warriors. That's kind of who I remember.
All Baron's team?
Yeah.
When I think of Charlotte.
Charlotte. Yep. Played for quite a few teams. Never played for the Grizz, I don't think, right? No. Anyway, the topic of Memphis came up on the show, and it actually produced quite the interesting exchange. And I guess this was sort of all about Stephen A., kind of going back to what Stephen A. Smith was talking about earlier in the summer. But this is from Draymond's podcast on Memphis.
I would say a lot of sayings or a lot of chatter about Memphis, players being reluctant to play in Memphis because it's a dangerous place to live. Do you think that also adds to it? I think Memphis is a great place. I think that we should be, one, trying to uplift and highlight like all the positive things. And so when you hear statements like that from people, like they don't necessarily be tapped in, right? And I don't like statements like that because it undermines, you know, the goodness, the positivity, the true essence of, you know, a city that needs to be uplifted. You watching First 48 and shit like that, and then you making assessments off that. That's television. That's entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. We talking about people who blood, sweat, and tears, you know, come to support, you know, the Grizzlies, right? Yep. Talking about people who, you know, support kids and Memphis basketball on all levels, the work, you know, Penny doing. So you can't, it's just buster comments to me, you know?
I got a lot of love for the city of Memphis. I got people from Memphis too. People from Memphis has always shown me love. Even they staff, when we in their building, they show love. Everybody in Memphis has always shown love. So, and I was about to go to Memphis 2 years ago. So I wholeheartedly disagree, because the last thing that was on my mind was, this is a dangerous place to live. I can't go. Every city in the world has a dangerous part. Every city in the world has a dangerous part to it. So
yeah,
I'm not going to sit here and single out that city and be like, yo, a player can't go to that city because it's too dangerous. Come on, man.
That's a wild statement.
There's a dangerous part of Los Angeles. There's a dangerous part of Detroit.
There you go. That's Draymond Green on Memphis. He reminds us, like, every chance he gets, he was going to come here 2 years ago.
Yep.
Which I would have been in favor of. Do we know why he never ended up coming? I don't know what got in the way of that. Maybe he got a new deal
with,
yeah,
Golden State.
Maybe that was not expected, and it ended up happening anyway. But yeah, it was interesting. Like, Baron Davis, kind of random, like just a champion of Memphis, you know.
Appreciated that.
Yeah.
For a man who, as you said, has been in plenty of NBA cities.
Yeah. And so I think, like, that's good to hear, what, you know, to balance out the noise of, you know, oh, nobody wants to be there. And now they haven't played here, but they don't have to say those things. They could say, why would we ever go to, like, you know, they don't have to do us any favors.
Well, it's appreciated. It's just the other side of the coin. It's the for so many that have used Stephen A's comments as sort of this hook. Oh, mm-hmm. Memphis shouldn't have an NBA team because of this crime problem. And others that have focused on the crime issue. It's what we said But now it's being, you know, it's common sense folks talking about it nationally. And you appreciate it. In Draymond's case, a guy who had an opportunity at one point and was thinking about coming to Memphis clearly. And Memphis clearly had the interest in him. We knew that. And so in this case, as he said, crime wasn't even a thought.
Right.
Getting paid again by Golden State.
Yep.
What was a better option,
yep,
obviously. But point being, you can't, you know, put hinging this all on or hooking it all on the crime angle is just a mischaracterization of where we are. All cities have issues. I just had one of our listeners reach out and talk about Phoenix, who's got an issue right there around its stadium of homelessness. And, you know, we're nobody's talking about them or highlighting that as a reason Phoenix should be moving on from its market or doing
exactly
away with you know, what they've gotten, you know, wherever that arena is located. So, you know, this is an issue that, again, it's a mischaracterization if the focus continues to be on, you know, crime is the sole issue here.
Yeah, exactly. And it is an issue. It is, you know, one. It is not the only. And I think, like, what I would hate to have happen is that it gets kind of used as the only thing. Like, that would drive me insane. Well,
it's happened.
We'll continue
to combat it.
Yeah, because we can't fundamentally snap our fingers and all of a sudden no crime.
No, but you can have an increased police presence, which they've had, which they've done. You can have a precinct down there, and you can also freaking refurbish, reimagine, whatever, renovate.
Yeah,
all of that area around it, because that's essentially what you need. Place still looks the same that it did in 04 when it opened.
Right.
I mean, Grizzlies have interest there too. Hardeman sort of dropped in here. I think it's a factor. That MLGW building, we know they've been looking. I mean, we're you know, moving them out of that spot that's next to the Orphan. That's prime real estate. Yeah, all of that. The experience downtown, I think, just as much a part of the conversation, if not more so, than the actual crime angle. Because I don't know how many crime issues do we have during games last year that we were talking about after the game. None that I can remember. And so, again, keep it real, which is a conversation about all the factors.
Yeah.
But appreciate Draymond keeping it real. It's weird. We kind of got a love-hate relationship with him now. We like him when he talks well about us, and we'll use it. We'll you know, talk off of it and everything else. But,
yep,
you know, when he's throwing those finger signs to our fans, which he's done, he talks about how much love he gets here,
mm-hmm,
how much love he gives back. I don't know about all the love reciprocated.
Yeah, no, agreed.
But I appreciate him keeping it real on Memphis there.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, he 100% did. So, hey, champions, we'll take them anywhere we can get them. We'll take some advocates anywhere we can get them. And it seems like we found at least two in the NBA family, in Baron Davis and Draymond Green.
All right. A couple of things with the University of Memphis basketball. First thing, and we probably, I don't know that his name has actually come up in any of our conversations about the upcoming season for Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tigers, but got the news, Daniel Vieira Tuck will redshirt this season, and a freshman guard coming in. And again, they are so, I would almost say, log jammed at guard and at wing for a 6'4 freshman guard. How much are you going to play in what every, you know, season is a must-win season, must-win time for Penny Hardaway? Keep in mind, he's got a non-conference schedule. He's got six teams on it. Six of the 13 are currently projected to make the NCAA tournament. So you figure it's going to be tough on a freshman to play anyway. So that wasn't surprising. Saw the news, though, probably more important as it pertains to this season. Also from Jason Munns over the Commercial Appeal, that our man Simon Majuk,
yep,
his visa has been approved, according to a source. This, according to Jason Munns, tweeted earlier this morning. He's expected to have his passport visa in hand within 2 to 3 days, although it could take up to 10 days per the U.S. Embassy. Upon receipt, he'll be on his way to Memphis, so still plenty of time for him to get here. But good news for him that visa has been approved. That's certainly never promised with everything that we've got going on governmentally. And, good news for Memphis.
Yeah.
Penny Hardaway's added a couple of bigs here late, but this is one. And, you know, you still don't know what you have in Majuk. I'm not telling you, oh, man, everything's good. They've got mm-hmm. their backup center, or maybe a starting center, you know, if Bradshaw can't handle it. But good that you'll have a body that you expected to have, it appears, in Majuk, whose visa was approved, according to Jason Munns.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm the Daniel Vieira Tuck thing has just been kind of weird because
surprised he's still kind of hanging on.
Yeah, didn't
he? To be honest with you.
Hasn't this been going on for like 2 years?
Well, I thought last year he kind of pulled away, went prep school or some other route.
Yeah,
he wasn't
right.
technically with the team.
And then he ended up coming, and now he's redshirting.
And redshirt, but still within the program.
I don't really understand the vision there. Seems like he's not good enough.
Could very much be the case.
I mean,
especially with the way that Penny's got to recruit every year, having to get experienced guards.
I know that, honestly, this is just the history of it. Penny redshirt candidates always leave. Like I don't know if there's a single instance of a redshirt staying at Memphis and playing the next year and becoming a contributor. I think this would. It's just not what Penny doesn't have the patience. You know, I mean, because he's trying to develop and coach a team. He doesn't really have time to develop you. I mean, that's the thing about college athletics and college basketball in 2025 is like, you know, it moves too fast. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're kind of responsible for your own development in a way. He's going to be trying to get the most out of Aaron Bradshaw and Curtis Givens and et cetera.
I hadn't read anything other than the first couple of graphs of the Vera Tuck story from Munns over Commercial Appeal, but it looks like it's eligibility issues that are leading to the red shirt. Although I'm sure part of it's still a case of, is this guy going to be good enough? But yes, his enrollment at Imagine Learning Excellent Academy has hampered his eligibility status. Dad said school filed a waiver request with the NCAA in an attempt to resolve the issue was partially approved, hence the red shirt. Is what he texted the CA. So part of its eligibility issues.
No, you don't
part
think
of it's
you
they got plenty of guards.
You don't trust the transcripts from Imagine like Excellent Learning Academy, bro?
That sounds like Reach Your Dream, bro. That don't sound like Tennessee Collegiate.
No, there's nothing above board like that. Yeah,
that does not sound like Tennessee Collegiate. Tipton Rosemark handling the academic piece.
Yeah, I know there were some people out there who thought at one point and believed at one point that Vieira Tuck would help. But again, I'm always very quick to write these guys off because Penny's been on this job for what, this will be his eighth season.
Mm-hmm.
Like the man has, his stripes, and a tiger doesn't change his stripes. Like you either contribute for the man immediately and can show that you have something or you're gone. Like whether you're,
I could not remember the freshman's name that left after last year. That's how. Transactional this all.
Oh, it was Jared something. Jared something.
That's not good enough from you,
right?
Mr. Second and Third String.
I'm focused on pro.
But isn't it crazy how that's the case? We can't even remember the guy's name.
Yeah. He didn't play.
He barely
really.
Played.
Yeah.
Said he should have been playing instead of Barack.
Yeah.
Baraka.
Yeah.
I won't call him Barack.
Baraka. I mean, dude, I got so much going on. Is it Jared Lewis? Is that his name?
Is that the Subway guy?
That's Jared Fogle, man. He's in prison. Nasty.
Isn't that just crazy, though?
Mm-hmm.
We don't, to your point about freshmen doing anything.
Oh, Jared Harris. Jared Harris is his name.
Oh, that's a tough
Already
mix
forgotten.
Up.
That's right.
Already forgotten.
Do you remember the Spaniard that Penny had?
Spaniard?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Ian Granja.
Come on, bro.
Come on, dog. Y'all trying to tell me this
remember
was
John
the power
I remember making. John Camden.
Camden and
Sam Anu.
There you
don't,
go.
Don't even try.
There
I was,
you go.
I was kind of like, I think it was Topper that convinced us those
Very
guys
good.
Were going to be contributors.
Very good, Jason.
Let's do some more trivia.
More Tigers that never contributed.
And I mean,
Stan Simpson?
We're talking about under
well,
Penny.
This is
under Penny.
Penny. Seventh,
under
seven
Penny.
Years.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ian Granja, Jared Harris, Camden and Anu.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else from last year? I mean, what about Jonathan Pierre? Does he count?
Yes.
Okay, he did start a game, though.
I mean, it didn't pan. Come on, man.
He actually was playing pretty well in summer league,
believe
it or not.
That was a message to somebody else, his starting,
I think
right?
It was
because
Quinterly.
Jonathan was pulled the next game.
That's exactly right. It was Quinterly.
He was used as a message.
I'm just going to pull up a random Memphis basketball.
Now, Pierre went somewhere and played Belmont, did he not? And played
and he
well.
Played pretty well. He did.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm not
he probably
sure.
shouldn't be on because he's on a list that doesn't include anybody. I think has done it.
Well, they just didn't play here, right? It doesn't have to be for the rest of their career.
But we were talking freshman too, and he was a Division II.
Oh, guy. What's my guy? Where'd my guy Deke Yates go? He went somewhere.
I want to say it's Alabama State that Tony got him, sucked him up.
We're gonna regret that one every day for the rest of our lives. Dink Yates was he scholarship though, or was he a walk on?
He might have been walk on.
All right, I'm gonna do Memphis basketball 22-23.
I don't think it's a hugely much longer list. I think we've named.
No,
most
I
of
think
the Pitty
doesn't. I don't think he tries
he
to
stopped
play.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the rest of them, remember, were great freshmen.
Yeah,
five stars that he was playing.
Isaiah Stokes, you mentioned.
Isaiah Stokes didn't do anything here. Yeah, he came and I don't think he ever played.
Man, I forgot that man.
Earl Timberlake.
No, Earl played. Come on, Brad. Come on!
Jaden Hardaway, he played, right? Yeah.
How about KO? Like, where does he fall on this list?
Lance Thomas.
Lance got some tick.
Yeah. And we would have been, freshman that didn't play.
Oh, freshman. Okay.
And then KO was
Oh, he
what?
Wasn't a freshman, yeah. He was. Okay. We're just doing freshman? Okay.
We were. That's initially where the conversation started, since Jarrett Tuck would be that.
No, especially in the era of the transfer portal. Because Jonathan Lawson
redshirted.
And then he left.
Was it played?
Right? Or did he
play
the next
No, I want to say
year?
He played like 19 minutes a game.
Okay, so that's one. Okay,
that was one we
one.
Were trying to Here's play him
Johnny
into.
Johnny is the only example of that actually. And he should have, probably been retained.
Penny was trying, man. I mean, he played 19 on that team was pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know how many more he could have gotten him.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of more, but like I said, that was one you were hoping to get back.
What about the dude Nesbitt? Remember they brought him in the middle of the year? Jordan Nesbitt
left midseason.
St. Louis or something.
No, he joined midseason.
And then transferred to St. Louis.
And then he left after the season to St. Louis. Yep. Jonathan Pierre wasn't a freshman, though.
That's the thing. He's like D2.
Mm.
Sharon Font.
I forgot about Carl. We did have high hopes for Carl at one point.
Some of us had high hopes.
I said 6'5 and had the body already.
And where did he end up, man? And I think he actually ended up at a decent school. Maybe not. Where's this guy at? He's at New Mexico State now. And he averaged 2 points a game.
Mikey.
Last season. Mikey never showed up, man.
I guess he was in Memphis.
Yeah.
He was in the hood. We saw the pictures.
He was.
But you're right. I mean, technically, I guess not official with the team.
Yeah. So, I mean, the reality is, it's like, well, I don't know what classification Vieira Tuck is at this point, but the odds are.
He's still considered a freshman.
Supremely, supremely stacked against him ever contributing to the University of Memphis. It's like
it just bees like that sometimes.
Yeah, like
especially around here.
It's like there's like no gray area, right? Like you either come in and you're Imani Bates or Jalen Duren, or you're gone.
Well, and Penny seemingly isn't recruiting those guys anymore.
Yeah, he's really not. I mean, he is recruiting Fred Smith.
Fred's not a five star.
Well, you mean
he's
like five star guys? I got you. Yeah.
Talking about the top of the top.
Yeah, they're really not. We'll see. I think the next offseason, 26 offseason, maybe we could see Memphis get back to that a little bit because they'll have more money because of this FedEx deal.
Well, and then a few years, you have to go after DJ, who will be that Oka.
And I think like what we're going to also see is that as we're learning, this particular basketball class, this 2025 offseason class is going to be a bubble because everybody was overspending ahead of the house settlement. Because LSU's football roster is $18 million. All right, Kentucky's basketball roster is 20. So, I mean, LSU's a top 10 team in the country. They only spent $18 million for 105 kids, you know? Wow. So, I think this basketball situation was very unique, and I think Memphis will actually be in a position, I'm hoping. You kind of get whiplash with this. Like, they have enough money, they not. Do they have enough money, they not. And it seems like the feeling now around college basketball is that this particular class will look back on it and it'll say, we won't see $20 million rosters. We won't see $15 million rosters on the regular. I mean, you might have an anomaly here or there because of a one player just like breaking the bank. But like, I think Memphis will be able to actually, compete a little better in the future. Again, they're going to have more money now because of this FedEx deal. You convert it from an NIL deal to a rev share. And so maybe you can go from, $4 million to $6 million or something along those lines. I mean, that's just that's kind of what we're talking about. So, it's going to be and congrats to Simon.
Yes, on getting the visa approved. That news from Jason Munns with Commercial Appeal.
Was not a slam dunk. It was not a slam dunk. All right, we have an NFL trade, Jason. Brian Robinson got his wish. He's gone from Washington. He's in San Francisco.
Commanders get what they want too.
Yes.
Said he didn't fit their offense.
That's right. Brian Robinson, the running back who started last season for the Commanders, course, NFC North, NFC champion, or the championship game appearing Commanders, I should say. He is headed out to the 49ers for a sixth round pick in next year's NFL draft. Again, we talked about the 49ers. They're just decimated, as they always seem to be, by injury. Like, they are a team that just is never healthy, whether it's Kittle or McCaffrey or Trent Williams or whoever, you know, Ayuk. I mean, they just are not a healthy team at all. But, I mean, if you're Brian Robinson, like, would you have rather stayed in Washington?
Well, they're not going to sign you. I think that's part of it, right? He wants a new deal.
Well, is he going to get one in San Fran behind McCaffrey?
I think he's hoping so. That's the thing, is that you want to use draft capital for a guy that's going to walk off. I would think that the plan is part of that, that you're willing to, you know, sort of like the Bears did with Tooney. You're willing to re-sign him at a price, you know, by you know, using the draft pick to trade for him. Otherwise, you're just getting a rental. And San Francisco's not close enough right now. They'd have to prove that again, that they're close enough to a Super Bowl to be taking on rentals.
Yep.
So even, you know, even if a sixth rounder. So
yep.
I would say yes. My guess is that San Francisco has a plan to sign him.
Yeah. I mean, you do have to have two running backs in today's day and age.
Especially with them, with McCaffrey. Come on, bro.
Yeah. Insurance for
he's
sure.
He's on the downside in terms of the mileage now and the injuries now that are piling up on him.
He is. He is. So you have that, which, I mean, I don't think it makes the 49ers better. I mean, I think it, you know, it's a new change of scenery for Robinson, but I don't think it like changes the cheese for the 49ers. And then the Vikings want to reunite with Adam Thielen, like we talked about. But if you're the Panthers, I mean, Bryce Young needs targets too now. I mean.
Right. And what have they added to Thielen in terms of weaponry for him?
Tech. They drafted
Remember,
Tech.
You mentioned a guy out of the draft.
Yeah, eighth overall.
This is one. He had none.
But, yeah, I mean, you have to have somebody to draw attention off of Tet.
You're going to trade Thielen. You got nothing on – everybody's on Tet.
If you want to give me a third rounder, I'll trade him. Other than that, we're staying pat. Because, honestly, if you're the Panthers – and I know, you know, they stink. Like, their depth stinks. But, like, if you're the Panthers, why do you feel like you can't win your division? I mean, are you really that worried about the Bucs?
Yes,
I mean,
you should be.
I mean, they're the favorite, but, like, they're not unbeatable, you know?
Well, so, Mike Evans is uncoverable.
The Falcons, you know, Penix didn't play any preseason. So, I mean, are we really crowning Penix after four games? I think certainly not. The Saints are a mess. So, I mean, I'm not saying that they should, you know, be the favorite or anything like that. But, like, you go into a season where you feel like you're alive. You're alive to compete. And why would I want to, like, strip that down? If we get to week eight and we're out of it, yeah, sure, we'll revisit. And we can send him out for a seventh rounder, you know, basically nothing. But, you know, I think you got to take your chances with this division, you know, with Bryce, a third year of Bryce.
Depends on how desperate Minnesota gets and what they're willing to offer.
Yeah.
Because the future is not now, and Thielen is not the future with Carolina.
Correct.
So,
correct.
Maybe I can drive the price up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think, you know.
Because Minnesota looks pretty desperate here.
Yeah. I mean, I would ask, like, should they really be that desperate? Because they still do have Hockenson, right?
Well, how long is Addison out? It's three?
Three games. That's it. Although, that could be the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, because you got Chicago week one.
Oh, we got a hell of a division, man. Especially if we're the last place team and we're an improved team from five.
I don't know. I wouldn't go crazy over it, though.
Where's Thielen in the career, though?
I mean, he's got maybe 2 years left, if that. This could be his last year. But he still
behind
is that.
Cooper Kupp?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who just got sent off and packed off from L.A. to Seattle.
Yeah.
So, you're not giving up too much for Adam Thielen.
Right.
I mean, so I don't know if it's worth it if I'm only getting a
exactly
sixth.
Right.
Fifth.
He's worth more to me than, you know.
For Bryce's development, yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
For the right now.
And he's probably not worth a sixth either. You know, like, I mean.
At this point in his career.
We get it. Like, we want the same things, right? Like, J.J. McCarthy, first full year as a starter, comfortable target. You know, but that's what we have right now. Why do we give that up?
I'm putting you on the spot. Well, what did was it Niners who just traded for Sky Moore? What did they give the Chiefs?
Oh, I think it was like nothing. Yeah.
Was it nothing?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly what it was, but it was, you know, very, very little compensation because he had a bad preseason.
I don't know if it was comparable.
But now he's a little younger.
Will flip sixth and seventh round picks.
So literally a pick swap.
That's all.
I mean, that's like cash considerations. So, but he had such a terrible preseason. And, you know, if the Chiefs trade you, you know, that's not a great sign.
No.
I don't really want you.
Very fair.
Where'd he go?
49ers, I believe.
49ers.
Who have all kinds of receiver health issues.
That's a tough look there, I got to say. Taking the scrap heaps from the Chiefs as if, because you're just that decimated. You know, you're trying, I can make something out of it. No, you can't. He's dropping passes. He stinks.
One more thing I want to run by you.
Okay. But, yeah, that's the transaction in the NFL.
This was a couple days ago, and we didn't discuss it. It's an NBA story over at CBSSports.com. They went about ranking the top 25 NBA players of the 21st century. From, as the headline says, LeBron to Russ, Jokic over Shaq, and goes on. Number one, probably we can all understand, LeBron James, 2003 to present. It's at the top that I want to run by you. I don't care to go through the whole list here. Number two, John, they have Steph Curry. Number three, Tim Duncan. Number four, Jokic. Number five, Shaq. And then six, Kobe Bryant. Is there any list, where Steph Curry should be, who has four titles, should be above Kobe with five? And did it with two iterations of Lakers teams, three with Shaq, two as essentially Batman with Gasol and those teams.
Well, I think, objection, Your Honor, leading the witness. I think that's you're leading the witness here.
I'm not leading you.
You're leading me. You want me to
just
say
tell
no?
Tell me that there should be a list with Steph Curry, and then explain your reasoning.
So I would start is I value Steph higher than I think NBA consensus. Most NBA consensus would not have him as a top 10 guy all time.
He's two.
And they've got him two on this list.
Two behind LeBron, bro.
Yeah. This is like what, 2000?
This is the century.
Yeah.
Yeah, last the 25 NBA players of the 21st century.
Yeah.
25 best.
But I think, like, if you take it all time, he probably doesn't crack, you know, again, you ask a random person, Steph Curry, top 10 all time, they'd probably tell you no. But I think he absolutely is. And I don't know. It's interesting. Ahead of Kobe, because I think in many ways they had similar impacts on basketball culturally. You know, Kobe had the shoe. Kobe had the attitude, Mamba mentality. He was like the bridge. You know, he was like the next. For a lot of people, a little older than me, he was Jordan. You know, like if you were born in like 1985, you know, he was your Jordan. For me, that was LeBron, because I was born in 91. He got drafted 2003. That was my coming of age, right? But Steph, like Brad's kid. When was your kid born, Brad?
He was born in 2008.
Right. So if you were born in 2008, Steph was your Jordan, because you're 12 years old and he's like lighting up the world, you know, from three, and I mean all the kids have his. So I that's kind of how I measure a lot of, if the skills are similar and the scoring and the production is similar, which they are, obviously, I think then you have to go to cultural. Do I think his impact was, what, four spots greater? Is that he's second and Kobe sixth?
Yes, bro.
Yeah, I mean that's right. That's kind of crazy. I would probably not have Steph ahead of Kobe, but I would have him
ridiculous.
I'd have him very close behind.
He's like a one-time Finals MVP. Kobe's got two Finals MVPs. Steph, look who he had to have with him to do it. He won two of them with Durant.
He did win one. He did win one though without in
one Finals MVP. He has one. Kobe has two Finals MVPs.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, Steph wasn't the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe was the reason, especially those last two.
Well, I would argue that Steph was the reason that they were in the spot and that you know they were able to turn the franchise around in the first place.
I would argue that Steph can't, you know, play the way he does in Kobe's era. Number one, because the league got softer and allowed little guys like Steph to be able to do what he does, getting everything else. This is not an argument. I cannot believe you're going to.
Well, I gave you Kobe ahead of him, but my only thing is that I would.
You're holding Steph up too high.
I have him higher than most. Like, I have Steph top 10 all time. because I just think his cultural impact on the game of basketball is going to be felt for generations and generations to come. I mean,
the cultural impact is shooting deeper, bro.
Right. I mean, that's it. And shooting, period, really. I mean, the art of the three. It was really not as prolific as it was until he showed up.
You talking about the three in Boston's incorporating all that. Let's talk about Mamba mentality.
No, I mean.
How many of these young bucks today still talking about Mamba mentality?
No, that's why I'm giving you a head. I'm giving you Kobe's ahead of Steph. But not by like any kind of huge margin or anything like that. I mean,
oh, it's huge.
Steph, look,
he changed.
Kobe's celebrity was bigger than Steph's. Kobe's, cultural impact, I think, was bigger than Steph's. But I think in terms of fingerprints on the game, you could, I think, very easily make the case for Steph. Because
acknowledge that Kobe would back Steph down and dominate 100%. Him at any time
on an individual level.
Yes, just because of the level of player.
Yeah, no, Kobe
like
was
he did more than what Steph does.
I think that's probably fair. He probably had like a lot of defensive first teams in there, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, again,
we're doing it all.
I've got Kobe ahead of Steph. Let me be clear on that. However, I do think Steph's impact on the game is tragically underappreciated.
Steph shouldn't be above Tim Duncan. No.
See, I think that's where we're going to get off. Because Tim Duncan, better player probably, but in terms of actual impact on the game of basketball, because he hit some bank shots, bro. He hit baseline turnaround.
So because there was not a proliferation of the bank shot, my man had no impact on basketball.
Yeah, impact on the Spurs.
Are you crazy? All he did was play every damn game and win titles.
Let me say something. If Tim Duncan, if the league was full of Tim Duncans, bro, nobody would watch. Nobody would watch that crap.
Duncan was the system, and it operated around him. Steph operates in a system.
Tim Duncan is the most boring great player in any sport ever, period. Any sport you pick, any sport, he's the greatest and most boring player ever. Like, can you think of one Tim Duncan moment?
Moments?
Yeah.
No, I think about the five titles.
Right, you think about exactly. You think about the bank shots on the baseline
all day long.
That little ugly that free throw
in his face never changing.
Right. See, Tim Duncan. I know people love to hold him up, and look, his resume is his resume. But I am just not a Tim Duncan truther, bro. Like, he can come and he can go. Like,
two-time MVP of the league, bro.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand. But, like,
on it.
But, like, he's just utterly, like, as a personality, forgettable.
16 years.
Yeah.
Nearly two decades.
One franchise. Fantastic. You know, like, I mean, objectively great player. But, like, what did he leave? What did he leave the game of basketball?
Maybe an era that'll never be matched. What San Antonio did in that era.
I mean, he did great things for San Antonio. You know, he did great things for that franchise.
In the 16?
But he, like, you know, Kobe left something. Mike left something. Steph left something.
Left fool shooting three-pointers instead of working on their free throws.
Well, Steph makes free throws as
well.
Could
argue it's had a negative impact. What Boston does is disgusting. We say it every day. They shoot 63s.
Do it better than anybody, you're going to get a title out of it.
It's all analytics.
So you want a league full of Tim Duncans.
I'm just saying on any list, he should be, like Kobe, should be above Steph, who was part of an incredible system.
He's got five titles.
And is the best shooter we've ever seen.
He's got five titles.
Steph has four.
I'm saying Tim.
Yes.
He has five.
Him
Steph
and Kobe both have five.
Yeah. I mean,
which also should put them above him.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, Tim is just going to be, you're going to have to live with the fact that on my list, Tim's going to be lower than maybe you think he should be.
Little man Steph wouldn't have worked back in Jordan era, first of all. No. When you could put hands on guys, wouldn't have worked. He'd been crying. Those ankles would have never gotten right because it was too physical a game.
Yeah, I mean, you could very well be right about that, but... Again, it's like when I'm making these lists, it's like
know you shoot deep. You like guys who shoot deep.
It's not just him. It's not just Steph.
And that equals change the culture.
It's not just Steph. Like LeBron. Like if you're going to be on this list,
LeBron's one.
If you're going to be on this list in the top, what's Tim Duncan on this list?
Tim Duncan is three behind Steph Curry.
And
can nuts
right? Can you and who's four and who's five?
Fourth is Jokic.
Right.
Five is Shaq.
Okay, so. I think most people would probably have Tim Duncan and Jokic sort of, they would put them in the same sort of category, right? Like, they're just cerebral and they're scientific about the things that they do on the court, and they're really boring outside of that. And I would listen to that, you know, like they're very similar, like great passer, great shooter, great basketball player. You know, nobody's clamoring to go watch Nikola Jokic unless you're like a huge basketball nerd. Is that fair to say?
I guess you're saying box office, but
it is an entertainment product at the end of the day. Is it not?
Yeah, this whole boring thing. Dominance is boring. 30 well, and 16 not rebounds all dominance is boring.
I mean, boring. Tim Duncan's dominance
if
they, was
if
boring.
If he's doing it for the Grizzlies, you'd be your ass in seats every seat.
Well, yeah.
Because you'd be competing for a title, probably.
True. That's true.
And so I could say part of that is exciting.
I get what you're saying. Winning is fun. But it's not fun for other teams and fans unless they're a fan of that team. You know, unless you cross over. And that's what LeBron does. It's what Kobe did. It's what Steph does. It's what, you know, I think in many ways what Giannis does.
Yeah, he's lower. I think he's behind Kobe at 7.
You know, I
according to CBS.
It's possible that I'm coming at this from an entertainment and cultural perspective. You know, I mean, that's what we talk about, right? Perception. And my perception of Tim Duncan is that he was a snooze fest. I mean, he would give you 25 and 12, but it was boring. It was like watching WKNO. It was, you know, educational, but I didn't enjoy it.
I'm not going to push back and tell you he's the most exciting player
ever. Yeah, bro.
For you, I mean, again, you the whole Kareem thing, you'd have been slept on when he's throwing sky hooks.
Oh, he had the sky hook.
It was new. It's not Steph out there flicking
threes. Now, you know what? You're right. I'd be Dr. J. Give me Dr. J all day.
Somebody shoot.
He's doing the up and under. Yeah, exactly.
This is boring.
It is boring.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I mean, again, it's like...
That's ridiculous.
I'll learn something. I'll take something out of it. But did I enjoy myself in the process? Like, oh, honey, Tim Duncan's on. Hell no. Absolutely not.
No, it's because you hated it.
I didn't hate it.
You hated it as a Memphian. Bro, you resented it.
Tim Duncan didn't...
That's part of this. You have to respect his greatness.
But he never made you feel emotion because he never had any.
That's fine.
He's just like,
emotion is not part. We're talking about the greatest players.
Hello.
How you feel sitting over there in all black.
I am number three.
He's not going to be moved anyway. You're looking like Johnny Cash over there.
I am number three.
You're not being moved.
On the list. I am so happy about this. I am Tim Duncan.
Like, I just, you know.
You like them people. You're not going to change their perception anyway, like we were talking about earlier.
Tim Duncan is a.
So Tim definitely ain't going to show you any emotion.
A Hall of Famer, objectively great basketball player.
Because he didn't excite you. He shouldn't be high on these lists.
He didn't excite anybody.
Ridiculous.
I mean, if you're going to be honest about it, he didn't excite anybody. Even the Spurs.
It's about basketball dominance. This is a ranking of the greatest players, not of who got us the most titillated, fool.
All right, but let's. Okay, but Michael Jordan was dominant, yes?
Yes.
But he wasn't just dominant.
It's in the way that he did it.
Right.
Again, you're having a box office conversation.
Right, because the truly
greatest. But I would still tell you, Tim Duncan probably was pretty box office in the places that he played, including, say, when he went, other kids want to see Tim Duncan. In that era, they want to see him. It's a two-time MVP.
What? Bank a free throw?
Because at that time, let's be real, we weren't shooting 63s a game. We didn't even know that life.
Right. Thank God Steph came along.
Big men like him walked the earth.
Yeah.
And we praised them.
That's right.
We were used to the dominant big man.
Yeah.
And he was it, and we gave him his respect.
Shaq was dominant, but he was fun because he was crashing the like he was literally bringing down backboard.
Again, you're making, and I can't. It's your judgment.
That's right.
But you're making John's fun
part
of a ranking of the greatest players.
That's right.
I don't include fun. How much fun I had watching them. It's just about their dominance in the league, their championships. What they put up numbers wise, and that's it. I'll give you cultural if you had an impact on the game. You changed the game, but come on, fun watching it.
Fun,
please.
We'll come up with a better name for it. We'll come up with a better like descriptor of it instead of fun. But like you know, box office draw, entertainment value. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
What was fun about Mike Conley?
Nothing. That's why he's not on my list.
But you appreciated him, and you.
I mean, I appreciated him, but like
so that's what I'm.
How many times have we had this conversation about the grit and grind years? Right, like you know how I feel about the grit and grind years. They entertain me because they won, and that was fun.
Yeah.
But they didn't do anything other than that.
Well, I'm not saying you would have Mike Conley in a top 10 list, but you have a healthy respect for what Mike Conley did down
yes.
there. How key he was to that core four.
Yes,
you don't use how boring he was as a player, or he didn't get up in ref's face to drop him down a list. We don't do that.
Well, he ain't on any list.
That would be my point. My point isn't about a list. It's about you having a healthy respect for the
yes.
player and sort of what they meant to either that generation, that
right.
club, whatever else.
No, I have an unhealthy disrespect.
It's the same level of respect that kind of balance there you should have for Tim Duncan. Yeah. Being this high.
Anyway. Well, I just can't.
But I get it.
I just can't believe you're infringing upon my rights here as I'm creating my list.
I think what is clear is that you hold Steph too high.
That's how we started.
That's what we've gotten.
That's how we started it. I think I do.
Even though you have Kobe above, which is right.
I do.
Steph's still too high.
And I think, like, you know.
Best shooter ever.
I mean, I have.
Is he one of the 10 best players, if we're including centers and everything else of all time? You said yes.
I think he is.
I don't know if this was century. So since 2000.
That's
not all time. That's I don't even know if he's in the top 10.
I'm going to weight his impact on the game, you know, and you're going to weight the fact that he would not be able to do it.
Is a guy like Bill Russell going to be in your top 10?
I mean, yeah, come on. Okay. He's got to be. What do you win?
Wilt's going to be in there.
I mean, I have to. I got to make somebody's.
Yeah,
it's going to be a controversial omission.
He's out. Yeah, I see your face. You're backing down.
There's going to be a controversial omission because, I mean, it's pretty easy, right?
It's got way more heated than I thought it would.
I don't think it's heated.
Was the wrong word.
Well, I think
it's passionate.
I think it's like that's what makes this fun, right? Any conversation about, because if we all just agreed on this universal top 10 about everything, like, there would be no need to talk about it. It's like, oh, this is the 10 commandments, thou shalt not kill. You know, instead, it's like, oh, John's going to weigh entertainment to him. And Jason's going to weigh the fact that he could never do this against the 95 Bulls.
Bro, we'd have put Scotty on this man and shut him down.
See? That's what makes it fun.
He's like,
what, bro?
He would have said, this is unfair. You're putting a 6'7", 6'8" guy on me.
But see, I'm in the stands watching Tim Duncan, dog. I'm like a narcoleptic. I'm falling asleep, man. You're going to have to wake me up with some Narcan or something. Oh, what I missed? Oh, Tim Duncan banked in another one. That's unbelievable. That's awesome. He's the best player ever.
Austin Nichols wasn't nothing but the white Tim Duncan on the college level. You were super excited.
He was ambidextrous.
That was Tim Duncan.
I don't know, man.
We got to go back and watch the film?
I don't know. I don't know. I have anything that helps my agenda, man. You know, I can justify it. He played for Memphis. It was a little different, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, I'm glad you brought this. Is it ESPN?
CBS Sports did this. Faulty ranking.
Very controversial. Who was it? Was it GP?
No, it was a three guys. Actually.
Oh, it was a triumvirate.
Yeah, I can go to the top.
It's amazing that, you know.
It was Brad Botkin, James Herbert, and Jasmine Wimbish for CBSSports.com a couple of days ago.
All right. Well, interesting stuff there, as always. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come on the show. Jeff Cox is going to join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to fam ESPN.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.